So let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Micah. We're going to launch from two different verses, two different passages. We're going to take a look at what it says here in Micah in just a moment. And Micah, if you can find the book of Jonah, you can find Micah. It's right there. It's a neighbor to that book. We're going to also be in the book of Hosea. So if you want to try to find Hosea too at the same time, they're kind of in the close proximity. If you find the book of Daniel, you'll find Hosea. And we're going to take a look this morning at the subject of fruit. I actually thought about bringing in some object lessons, some different fruit, and so on and so forth. But I think we all understand what fruit is. This isn't quite, a junior church class, and I'm not going to bring in some crazy fruit like dragon fruit or rambutan or star fruit or something that's, unique and different. We all understand what fruit is. We understand where fruit comes from, that it comes from the branches of a tree or from a vine, and there's a quality of the fruit that we as believers should have. And this morning, this message is primarily to believers. Now, I don't want to exclude anybody today that if somebody has not trusted Christ as their Savior, this is applicable to you. But you need to understand that you're not going to have the right fruit for the Lord or for what is good if you're not trusting Christ as your Savior first. So we understand that. And at the end of this service, we will have an invitation to trust Christ as your Savior. But what we find as believers that is very important is that God is concerned with our fruitfulness. This morning, we were talking about disciples, and we'll talk a little bit about disciples here, that disciples must bear fruit, as we've mentioned before. This morning, in that song loving the Lord and what He's done for us, and it is really truly something that we think about saying, "Jesus, I love Thee," and singing about that from what we heard this morning about what He asks of us as a disciple. But what He is going to ask of us as a believer is He's going to say, "I want you to bear fruit." You can't be a barren tree. You can't be something that is a vine that doesn't have anything on it. You can't be that fig tree that He cursed that looked like it was going to bear fruit but didn't bear any fruit. We need to be believers that bear fruit. And in Micah chapter 7, here's this prophet. He's lamenting something. He's lamenting the condition of Israel. He's lamenting what's going on. And if you will, he has this desire that he's communicating, and this should be the desire of everyone in our lives and in the lives of other people. So when we start talking about fruit, we need to understand this, that you are going to help another person bear fruit as well. It's not just you that you're going to be concerned with. You need to help others. You need to edify them. You need to plant. You need to water, as we see over in 1 Corinthians 3. That is something that we as believers do in each other's lives. We help that situation. Sometimes we identify areas that need to be pruned. Sometimes we identify disease. Sometimes we help them and say, "Hey, look, this is how we're going to address these issues in your life." But there needs to be some fruitfulness that we bear. There needs to be something in our lives for the Lord. And He makes it very clear that's what we're ordained unto, the good works that we find over there in Ephesians chapter 2. He says the word of God is given so that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. Again, we're talking about fruitfulness, things that are born for Christ. And this prophet laments in verse 1 of Micah chapter 7, "Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again for this time and opportunity to just get into Your Word, to read it, to truly understand what you desire of us. And Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would commune with us and teach us this morning that, Lord, with all humility and humbleness, we would come and receive what you have for us about fruit. And Lord, we understand that we're all not going to bear the same amount of fruit, but we are being asked of you to bear something. And Lord, I just pray that this morning we would have a desire at the end of this to be fruitful believers, Christians, disciples for you. Pray, Lord, that this time would be pleasing and honoring unto you. Pray, Lord, you'd put a watch over my lips and mouth that only the things that you desire would be spoken. All of this I ask in your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we find here is we find this prophet saying, hey, look, I want the good fruit. I want something that is pleasant. Have you ever had some sort of an apple or maybe some sort of other fruit that just isn't ripe? That maybe is overripe? Pears are the ones that I always get. You buy them and they look good, and then you sit down and you're going to say, oh man, I want this pear, and you start eating the pear and the thing is like wood. And it's hard, it's difficult to chew, it's like, wow, man, this is, okay, this is tough. So we realize that, you know, that can be the case, that it's not quite yet developed the way it should be. You ever bite into an apple that's overripe? Oh, yeah. Man, that's just nasty. You bite into it, it's just mush. You think it's good, and then it's like the texture, the taste, and everything is just wrong about it. A deceiving little fruit, isn't it? It's all protected by the skin. You think it's good, and you're like, oh, this is rotten. This is it. And you throw it in the garbage, and you throw it in the trash. You know, some have good indicators of really, truly what good fruit looks like. And you take a look at it, and what happens is you look at that fruit, and what do you see with it? Like a banana, you can see whether it's ripe or not. When it's got all the green on it, you know that's going to be a little bit of a toothy, woody type banana. But when it starts turning brown, you're like, it's got those spots. You know, you're starting to enter in some dangerous territory. So we understand what the prophet is saying here. He's saying, I want good fruit. I want good fruit. This is what he was desiring for Israel. He's lamenting the situation. He's like, the fruit that we're producing just isn't what it's supposed to be. It's like the time is, he says, you know, when the harvest is coming to an end and everybody's gleaning everything, and he goes out there to the vines and he just wants something that's good, and the stuff that's left there is just not worth picking. It's just not worth eating. It's gross. It's garbage. He says very clearly here, my soul desired the first ripe fruit. Turn over to the book of Hosea. In Hosea, we're going to look at chapter 14, the last chapter of this. And I want to point something out here. And this is going to be the main thrust of the message this morning. If we're desiring first ripe fruit, if we're desiring the right kind of fruit in our life, I want us to understand this concept. When the Bible says that your life is not your own, we need to take that and apply it to every area of our life. What does that mean? That means the talents and ability that you have are not yours. Your thoughts are not yours. Your desires are not yours. Your life and what you want to do, your will, is not yours. Well, what do you mean by all that? It means that they all should be the will of God, the desires of the Lord. It should be very clearly that our thoughts are the thoughts that the Lord wants in our life. The Philippians 4 mentality. And what, I mean, all of this means is that it should be the life that is lived for God, and it is not our own. So when we begin to bear fruit, if we're trying to bear fruit of our own accord and of what we want, it's not going to be that first ripe fruit. It's going to be under ripe, or it's going to be overripe. It's going to be mushy, nasty, and gross, or it's going to be something that just really isn't even ready to be presented at this point. So what do we find here in Hosea chapter 14? We find that he specifically says about fruit. In verse 8, he's talking to Ephraim. He says, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? Ephraim making a decision saying, this isn't something that I want to do. This isn't something where I want to go. And what does he say here? He says, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I'm like a green fir tree. He's talking about the fruit that should be there, the fruit that should be developed, the fruit that should be coming forth. And what does he say? From me is thy fruit found. From me is thy fruit found. You know what that means? That means this. That means that if you are going to bear fruit in your life, that fruit has got to be from God. Now look, if we are rooted and grounded in Christ, that root is going to dictate what kind of fruit we have. Because if you plant something in the ground and it takes root and it comes up, what is it going to be? It's going to be something that is very clearly based off of what that root is. If it's not based off of that root, then something's happened along the way. And trust me, things can happen along the way. You can take a tree and you can have a couple different fruits coming off of it. You're like, well, how is that possible? Through grafting. Through grafting, yeah, you can do that. You can have an apple tree bear different kinds of apples. You can have those type of things happen and occur. But I will tell you this. You start messing around with that little genetic code. You start messing around trying to produce something that shouldn't be produced. You're going to wind up with something that's not very good. If we are grounded and rooted in the Lord, then we are going to produce the right kind of fruit. We are going to produce the right kind of fruit. So this morning, I want us to take a critical look at ourselves and say, okay, Lord, you want the first ripe fruits. That should be my desire also. And if you're saying that my fruit is going to be found of you, then that means I need to take a look and analyze my fruit and say, Lord, is this truly yours or is this something that I'm doing? Is this something that I'm doing? Turn over to the book of Philippians. Take a look at the book of Philippians in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, we find that the Lord begins to talk more about this fruit, and Paul talks about fruitfulness and what fruitfulness looks like. In Philippians chapter 1, and you jump down there to verse 11, and this is something that he's really truly desiring for the church at Philippi. And he says here in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, under the glory and praise of God. That was the condemnation that was given to Israel. What did they do? They went about to establish their own righteousness and disregarded the righteousness of God. And what does he say here? He says, church at Philippi, my desire is that you have the right kind of fruit, that fruit of righteousness is the fruit of righteousness according to Christ's righteousness. If we're going to bear fruit, it needs to be righteous. And again, it's not the concept of what we think is righteous, it's what he communicates to us is righteous. People all the time, man, let's just be honest. We start looking at stuff that's in our lives and we justify all sorts of craziness. We justify things that ought not be there. We judge sin very differently than the way God judges sin. One of the things that I find about sin and kind of talking about some of that is we see that this concept of sin and how people look at sins really varies. We excuse certain kinds of sins. Like I said, we were at the Rock of Ages prison ministry banquet that Brother Rick Terrazas invited us to. And me and my wife are sitting there and we're listening to these individuals come up and these prisoners giving testimonies of what Christ is doing in their lives. Administrators of facilities talking about the ministries and the work that that Rick and the other partners in Rock of Ages have been doing. And it was a great time to really truly see what the Lord is doing and how the Lord is working. But some of them got up there and they began to talk about the idea and the concept of where he says, where a lot of them would say, hey, look, we need to prepare the prisoner for the church because it's a very different concept sometimes. You get an individual that comes out of some sort of environment like that and they come to a church service and it's totally different. People aren't talking the same way. People aren't behaving the same way that they're used to, things like that. But at the same time, he made mention, he said, look, you need to make sure that the church is prepared for the prisoner. Why is that? Because sometimes people will look at people very differently. Oh, you robbed the bank. As he said, well, hopefully, you save some aside for tithe and offering. But, and he was talking about this concept and he said something of the nature of like, the people are willing to accept that. That's not that. Okay. Yeah, that's bad. I ought not do that. Tisk, tisk. But come on, we'll accept you. But if they do something else, no, we can't have that person here. Got to be careful with that mentality. That'll corrupt our fruit. That won't be fruit of God. Now look, I understand, what we do with our processes, and I totally get that, and I understand it. But look, if somebody comes in and they've murdered 17 people, and they sit down in the church service, you know how we treat them? We treat them as if the Apostle Paul walked in. You're like, wait a second. Let's be honest. We're all murderers. Now look, you may not have physically taken a life, but you're responsible for death. Jesus Christ put himself on the cross for us. We need to understand that concept. And what does he say? These are the first fruits of righteousness. And if we're going to do the first fruits of righteousness, or excuse me, with the fruits of righteousness here, he says they are of Christ. They are of Jesus Christ. They are not of us. Our righteousness needs to mirror his. Let's turn to another passage and let's go over to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Here we have the personification of wisdom speaking, wisdom that comes from God, wisdom that is from above, that's pure and peaceable, as he talks about in the book of James. And we find here in Proverbs chapter 8 and in verse 19, what does he say, or what does she say? She says, "My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver." If somebody was to walk up to you right now and say, hey, you know what I've got for you? I've got a nice brand new 24-ounce piece of gold. Now, that'd be a heavy piece of gold. And you would say, I'll find a way to take that thing home. You're giving that to me? Oh, yeah, I'll take that. That's worth a lot of money. You realize wisdom's far better than that? But let's understand this. The fruit that it bears in your life that others are going to partake of, because again, the tree does not bear fruit for its own purpose, but for others, that fruit is going to be better than giving them gold. If you were to walk up to somebody right now and say, hey, look, I'm going to give you $1,000. Some of you already have it spent. You already know where it's going to go. You already know exactly what it's dog tagged to and ear to. Why? Because you've got that purposed in your mind. But if somebody walks up to you and speaks wisdom to you from the Word of God, that is better than giving you $1,000. That is better than any monetary thing that they could ever give you. Why? Because that wisdom is from God Himself. When we begin to realize that that's how our fruit needs to be, that it needs to be of Him, that it needs to be of His righteousness, that it needs to be of His wisdom, then we realize, hey, that's how I get that first ripe fruit. Hey, that's how I get that fruit that is from God and is not from myself. That it's not some sort of grafted in branch that shouldn't be there, that is taking up resources and time that ought not. The source of our fruit needs to be from His righteousness and wisdom. Turn over the book of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 37, and when we begin to realize that this first ripe fruit that is to be desired, this first ripe fruit that we want in our lives, this fruit has to be born towards God, towards the Lord. If I bear fruit towards another person, then it's purposed for them and it's not purposed for God. If I bear fruit unto myself, then it is purposed for me and my hearts and my desire. And I want us to understand here in Proverbs, in Isaiah chapter 37, and in verse 31, I want you to see this passage. It says, "And the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall take root downward and shall bear fruit upward." And what does that mean? What does that mean? That means that this remnant that he's talking about, talking a bit about the things of the tribulation, what are they going to be? They're going to be rooted and grounded in Christ, and they're going to be bearing fruit unto the God of heaven. We as believers should be doing that. Now look, there are different types of produce that is out there. And you find produce that is out there, you find all of these vegetables and fruits, and there's things that grow in the ground like potatoes and other things, onions, that are, if you will, buried in there, and then you got to pull them out and bring them out. That's not what God is saying. He says, I don't want your earthly stuff. I don't want the earthly things. I want you to be like a tree. I'm not asking you to be a potato. Now, that's an interesting concept, because you know what? Sometimes we just want to be potatoes. We're Christian potatoes. Why? Because most of our root is in the things of the world. What we try to bear fruit of is the world. That's a vegetable. That's a starch. That's not something that's of God. You know what? If we're, as he says, to be a tree or a vine, what does that do? That comes out of the ground and it bears fruit upward. It comes up and bears fruit outward and upward. And this is what God says. He says, I want you to bear fruit unto me. I don't want you bearing fruit for yourself. I want you to bear fruit unto me. Why? Because it's his fruit anyways. And if we are grounded in Christ and we are rooted in Christ, then that is going to truly be what we desire. It's going to be done unto the Lord. How many times have we tried to do something that is not of our own power? Or excuse me, not of God's power, but of our own power? How many times have we just flustered ourselves beyond all frustration as we sit there and just like, I can't do this? I've seen individuals that are trying to do something, they're trying to put something together, and because of some health conditions or problems, they get so frustrated as their hands shake and they're trying to put something together and they're just doing some simple tasks that are that fine motor skill, and they're getting frustrated with it and they just throw it down and they just like, you know, scream in frustration. You know, you realize that that's exactly what we do when we try it ourselves. But when God guides and God directs and God is working in us, we can do the things that He has just told us that we are able to do. As we saw this morning over there, obviously we find in Philippians chapter 4. But what do we find of God here specifically saying? He's saying, I want you to bear fruit upward. It needs to be towards me. It's not supposed to be towards the earth. It's not supposed to be towards other people. It's supposed to be upward towards Him. That was His desire for Israel. It's His desire and intent for us. Turn over to the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, as we begin to analyze our own fruit and as we begin to look at what God desires of our fruit, He says, you know, there's some things that we got to be careful of. And in this passage, as He's specifically talking to false prophets, the wolves in sheep clothing that are going to come in, and we have those today. From a church perspective, there are wolves that are among people. There are wolves that are among churches. There are those that desire to keep things unto themselves. Their priority is them and them alone. And what do? They devour sheep. They devour sheep. They don't help the other sheep. They don't edify the other sheep. They devour for their own purpose, for their own design. And I'll tell you today, we've got a lot of hurt Christians in churches today and out of churches because people devoured them. You know what you need to be? You need to be a tree that bears fruit unto God, that when they come and they have an interaction with you, they actually receive fruit that shows that you are of God, not of your own design, not of your own things. Look at what He says here in verse 20. He says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. What does He say? Look, you can take a look at them and you can see exactly what they are, and you can see that they're not godly in any way, shape, or form. And we can talk about false prophets all day long, but I will tell you this, we will also be known by our fruits. You can tell what type of tree it is by the fruit that it bears. If I walk up to a tree and I see a peach on the tree, it's 100% guaranteed that that's a pear tree, right? What? It's not? What type of tree is it? It's a peach tree. Why? Because it's bearing peaches. I walk up to a lemon tree and say, oh, hey, look, this is a cucumber tree. Not that cucumbers grow like that, but you understand what I'm saying. Somebody will look at you and go, you're nuts. That's a lemon. Well, I know it's a lemon, but it's a cucumber tree. No, it's a lemon tree. Look, if we are going to be somebody that says we are a Christian, we're a disciple of Christ, and we're bearing fruit unto Him, and we're bearing fruit upward towards Him, and it is from Him, and it's because of His righteousness and wisdom, you know what's going to be? It's going to be godly fruit, and people are going to realize that is a godly person. That's going to be a person that is really, truly genuine in their belief. You ever met the faker? You ever met the person that just absolutely exudes being an actor? Be careful. Be careful of that person. That's a person you got to be very, 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 very careful of, because that person isn't genuine. And if we are going to be a person that is living for Christ, and we're going to be a person that's living the life for Christ, then you know what we are? We are going to be a tree that is a Christian tree. It is going to be a Christ tree. Meaning that if we are rooted and grounded in Him, what grows up out of Him is going to be that tree that bears fruit that is godly. It's going to be something that is pleasant. We find similar passage over in chapter 12 of the book of Matthew, where again he says, you know, you're either going to make the tree good or his fruit good, or it's going to be corrupt. And he says specifically, for the tree is known by his fruit. Turn over there to chapter 12 of the book of Matthew in verse 33 and look at that last part of that phrase in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. What does he say? For the tree is known by his fruit. So if you're going to say, I am a godly tree, I'm going to be those, somebody that is living for Christ, I'm going to be a Christian that is doing his will and doing his righteousness and promoting and proclaiming his wisdom, then we're going to be a godly tree that has godly fruit. That's the idea. That's the concept. Every tree is known by his fruit. He mentions this again over in Luke chapter 6. We think about this for a moment, and he says, this is what we need to understand. You're not going to have something that is going to be entangled with this world that is going to bear the right kind of fruit. We're going to look at it and we're going to say, hey, this fruit that is being produced in my life, this fruit is going to mirror what God's desire for that fruit is. And we know exactly what kind of fruit that should look like. Godly fruit looks just like the fruit of the Spirit, by the way. Because that's what he gives to us. That's the fruit that we get from him. And that's the fruit that we give to other people. Why? Because that's how it works. That seed of the Word of God is in there. The Holy Spirit nurtures it and causes it to grow. And it grows in us. And it bears the same kind of fruit as the Spirit. So if it isn't having love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, gentleness, it doesn't have those things that we find over there in Galatians 5, it's not your good fruit. There's something wrong with it. And if one part of those nine elements of that fruit is missing, it's not good fruit. Turn there to Galatians chapter 5 and see that just for a moment. This is the type of fruit that should be desired in our lives. This is the type of fruit that glorifies our Lord and our Savior and what he has done for us. This is the one that truly represents his desires for us in Galatians chapter 5. And he says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If it's missing one of those elements, it's not going to be a good fruit. And it's not fruits of the Spirit. It's a singular fruit that has all of those elements. All of these are to be desired. We're not supposed to sit there and say, well, I guess I've only got the fruit of love and I don't have any goodness in me. No, that's not how this works. Why? Because I guarantee you, you cannot have goodness in your life if love is not present. I'll tell you this, you can't have long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, peace, and meekness, and temperance if there is no love, and there is no joy, and there is no peace. And I guarantee you, the people focus on those first three. Love, joy, peace. Oh yeah, got those. What about the long-suffering? Nope. The natural progression is that if you have those three, long-suffering will follow. If you don't have long-suffering, you don't have love, joy, and peace. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. You've got something else. Your fruit will dictate to others what type of root you have, where you come from, where that fruit originated. Turn over to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we find in this parable, in this passage, about the sower, and we see very clearly here, as he talks about and gives the instruction behind it, and tells his disciples what this parable means, and he goes through all of it, talking about the hearts of men. But in verse 15 is where I want to focus. He says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bringeth forth fruit with patience. Bringeth forth fruit with patience. Now, we understand that over there in John chapter 15, as Christ goes into saying, hey, I am the vine, you're the branches, talking about those branches bearing fruit, coming from God, coming from Christ himself. He makes it very clear here that in order to understand that concept, there needs to be an understanding from the Holy Spirit as he works in your life, that those little seeds of the Word of God that are put in there, that when you hear it and you do it, you're bringing forth fruit the way God wants you to. You're bringing forth fruit from him. The more of the Bible that you have, the more that you focus on what that word says, the more you desire that in your life, that is what is going to grow unto that fruit that is of God. And I want to caution you with something here. It takes patience. Everything has a cycle. You go out there and you get all excited, and what do? You go out there and you buy a already, you know, growing tree from a nursery to plant in your yard. Sometimes you buy a little seed and you put it in there and you wait for it to grow. But we're impatient because we live in a microwave world. So what do we want? We go and we buy a tree that's already started to grow. We're going to skip that whole stage of, you know, waiting for it and watering it and nurturing it. And what are we going to do? We're going to just dig a hole and drop it in and then hope it works. I mean, really, that's kind of what we do, right? Yeah, we care for it and we kind of help it along and we nurture it and we want it to grow and all these things. I mean, that's the idea behind it. I mean, you're going to go and you're going to get some good grapes and things of that nature. You have a start. You have something that you begin with. But I will tell you this. It takes patience. Here you've got this little tree. It's only that big. Maybe you got a tree. It's a little bit taller. Maybe you're impatient and you actually got one that is just about ready to give fruit. And you take that thing and you drop it in the ground. And what do you want? Because you want, for the next season, you want fruit. I will tell you this. It takes patience to get to that point. The Christian life, you can't go to a nursery and just buy ready-made trees to drop into your life. No, it's got to be the seed of the Word of God that gets in there and begins to grow. And it's going to start off really small. And it's going to grow, and it'll get bigger, and the trunk will get thicker, and eventually, over the course of time, it's going to be able to bring forth that first ripe fruit. But you know what you have to have with all of that? Patience. Because if you don't have patience to wait for God to work in your life and to grow you the way that you want to grow, because he's the husbandman, remember? We're not. He's the husbandman. He's the one that works. He's the one that digs it. He's the one that dungs it if necessary. He's the one that takes care of it. He's the one that preserves it from pests and disease. He's the one that handles that situation. And we need to let him do that. We need to let him be the husbandman. So what does that mean? It means that we need to let the Word of God work in us in patience so that we will eventually bring forth that fruit. Because you know what's going to happen? We are not going to immediately have fruit that is going to be exactly the way God wants it. When you trust Christ as your Savior, that's not the first thing that happens, is you're not bringing forth fruit the right way. And you're learning the process and you're going through all of those things. And you begin to realize that you have to die to self. And as we talked about this morning, if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you're going to be asked to give up a lot of stuff. You're going to be asked to say, I'm going to have my priority God and not the things of this world or the relationships of this world. And if I have to, I will have to consider them in hate and say, I am going to love the Lord. Because in order to love them the right way, I have to love him first. The end result that we find is that we have to have a love for God in such a way that we love the patience that he gives us. We love the patience, the way he works with us. And we're content with that. Because in our due time, we will yield the fruit that is maybe 30-fold, maybe 60-fold, maybe 100-fold. Whatever it may be. But that fruit must be from the Word of God. I want us to turn to John chapter 15, and we're going to close with this. In John chapter 15, we're going to close with this, and then we'll have one more passage, and we'll look at that. But John chapter 15, we see that in the first part, in verses 1 through 4, he talks about abiding in him, saying that if we want to have fruit and we're going to bear fruit, that we need to abide in the Lord. That's where we dwell, that we abide in his word, that we abide in his spirit, that we abide in his presence, that we abide in his will. That is where we live. But he says this verse specifically in verse 8, he says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." Now look, to the Lord, 30 is much fruit. Okay? And let's be careful not to compare each other's fruit and the volume of it, okay? This is about your fruit. This isn't about anybody else's fruit. I don't want you taking a look at somebody else's tree and going, "I don't like their fruit." Not your business. Mind your own fruit. Get a t-shirt that says that. Mind your own fruit. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." That verse is a pivotal verse in the Christian life. Why is that? Because we realize that the fruit that we bear glorifies God our Father. So it has to be of him. If it's not of him, then I can't. Then it's not fruit that's going to glorify God. And I say that's the filter by which we should do things. That's the filter by which we should think about things. Man, let's be honest. You know, we do have a lot of intrusive thoughts. We have thoughts that creep in there. And what do? We don't kick them out. We allow them to live there. They're squatters. Evict it. Get rid of it. It doesn't need to be there because it's going to hurt your fruit. It's not going to be something that's going to glorify God. And this is how you look at it. And you say, "Is that thought glorify God?" If it doesn't glorify God, then you don't think about it. "Well, I can't stop thinking about it." Then think about something else. You have to purpose. Remember, you can do that. You can take control of that part. God does give us limited control of this body. You can say and make a choice and a decision to say, "No, I'm not going to think about that. You know what I'm going to think about? I'm going to think about something totally different." Now, don't think about another bad thought. Think about something that glorifies God. And what's going to happen? You're going to bear fruit unto him. That's how you show you're a disciple. Your fruit glorifies God. Because it should be from him. According to Hosea chapter 14. Let's turn finally to the book of 2 Peter. And we will close with this verse. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3, the very last verse that Peter writes here, kind of, if you will, the last we hear from him. And what is his desire? What is his desire to these believers? What is his desire that he wants? He says right here in verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." You know what? You need to grow up. You need to grow up in Christ. You need to grow so that you can bear fruit. It's going to take time. It's going to take patience. But if you are constantly applying the righteousness of God in your life, if you are constantly applying the wisdom of the Word in your life, if you are constantly desiring His glory in your life, you know what's going to happen? That fruit will be of Him. Why? Because you're growing in Him. You're growing in Him. You're growing in His grace, and you are growing in knowledge of Him. The more you know about your Savior, the more that fruit will be Christ-like. The more that fruit will show you are abiding in Him. He is your root. He is your vine. Bear the fruit the way God wants it. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank You for the time, and I thank You again, Lord, for an opportunity to see the fruit that You desire in our lives. And Lord, I do pray that as we think about these things, that we will very clearly understand the concept of what fruitfulness is and what that fruit should look like. And Lord, I just pray that we would desire that type of fruit. The desire, the first ripe fruits, Lord, that are clearly from You. And Lord, if we are abiding in You, and we are making decisions and choices as Ephraim did, then that fruit will clearly show we are Your disciples and followers of You. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and again, I'd be remiss to not say, now is a time of invitation to come. And if you realize that maybe the fruit in your life isn't the way that God wants it to be, believer, you need to get that taken care of so that you produce that right fruit. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I will say this, you know what? You need to bear fruit unto Him. That is what He has desired you to be. You cannot please the Lord without trusting Him as your Savior. You cannot bear fruit that gives God glory if you have not trusted Him as your Savior. And what does that mean? It means that you have believed that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, came here in the flesh and gave of Himself on that cross, dying a brutal death, so that you would have forgiveness of sins, so He could make atonement and pay for it. But He rose again on the third day, conquering sin and conquering death, so that you can have a home in heaven with Him and eternal life, so that you can live for Him. And if you're here today and you have never trusted that, you need to. Don't trust in your own works. Don't trust in your own goodness. Don't trust in your own intent. Don't entrust in your own desires. Trust only the Lord. Then you will be a tree that begins to bear fruit for Him. If you're here today and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to come forward. Somebody will show you from the Bible what that means to have salvation, to be saved from sin. Because the punishment of sin is that death. And you don't want that. And it's not just a physical death we're talking about. It's something far more serious. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here today and you haven't trusted Him as your Savior, you need to do that today. Christian, again, if you're not bearing the right kind of fruit, examine yourself. Ask the Lord to search you and try you and show you what type of fruit you are bearing. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that as we continue this time of invitation, as we close with this hymn, that Lord, You just continue to work in our hearts. Thank You again for all that You've done for us, Your word that You've given us that tells us about the salvation that we have in You, and how to live this life in a way that pleases and glorifies You. Lord, may You work in us that we would bear much fruit for Your glory, honor, and praise. And this I ask in Your Son's precious and holy name. Jesus Christ. Amen.